Grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus, the faithful one, who provides all that we need. Amen. I want to talk about the epistle today, Philippians chapter 3, the very powerful words of the Apostle Paul, who indeed by the Holy Spirit bears great fruit. We pray as we consider the Word of God further, we pray, Lord, pour out the Spirit upon the church, that we may gladly hear your Word and receive it in faith today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what's the prize? That's a common question we ask at times. What's the prize? What's the reward? If you play the lottery, and I would suggest strongly you don't play the lottery. If you do, though, you usually ask, what's the prize money at? What's the reward money? How many millions is it worth now? Should I play or not? What's the prize? Or if a team is going for a championship, what's the prize? Usually if they win the championship, some big trophy, and then the adoration of the fans, a ticker tape parade, and all the players and coaches get new fat contracts because they won a championship. That's the prize. And the police sometimes have a prize. They put up the picture of the fugitive, the criminal, and if you have information that leads to their arrest, you get a prize. $10,000, a reward, $50,000. That's the prize. When I go visit some of our members in nursing homes, they like to play bingo. And not just for the sake of playing bingo, but what's the prize for winning bingo? And it's usually a few quarters, a few dollars they can spend, but they like that prize. And if we buy a box of Cracker Jacks, what do you look for? What's the prize? That little paper thing in the middle of the Cracker Jack box. What's the prize for Christians? What's the reward? What's the climax? What do we get out of all this? We who follow Christ and keep the faith and persevere through trial and tribulation, what's the prize? Well, there's no guesswork here. God tells us clearly what the prize is. The prize is eternal life. The prize is the resurrection of the body that St. Paul talks about. The prize is glory. The prize is paradise. The prize is the New Jerusalem, the gold streets, the pearly gates, the angels, archangels, the feast. That's the prize. No more sickness, no more crying, no more tears, no more death. Eternal glory with God forever. That's the prize, paradise. And as I read the epistle today, St. Paul, as he labors for his Lord, is keeping his eyes on the prize. And that's the theme, really. Keep your eyes on the prize. Say it with me. Keep your eyes on the prize. This is the Christian walk here on this earth. Keep your eyes on the prize. I love the last verse. It's one of my favorites in all the Bible, where Paul writes, and Paul's in prison when he writes these words. He's in jail. He will get out and continue to preach, but he's in prison. He's not moping around. One thing I do, he writes to the church in Philippi and to us, one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining toward what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. His eyes are on the prize. And as I look at the text and consider, there are three benefits of keeping our eyes on the prize. We think way too worldly. We think way too much about all the things of this earth. Not that we're supposed to ignore things, obviously, but our thoughts are always just so mundane here and now. And may our thoughts go to heaven in glory and the prize of eternal life. We are nearing the end of the church year. We just have a couple months left in the church year now. We end in November, and already the readings will begin to take us to Judgment Day. The readings are about judgment of the vineyard and the last day and glory for the church and All Saints Day is coming. The prize. Three benefits for now. First of all, the prize, considering heaven, helps us to forget. The prize helps us to forget something we all need to forget and move on from. And that is our sins and our failings and our mistakes and our wickedness. And how we need to move on that and move on to the future. And the prize helps us to forget Paul's words. One thing I do, the first thing he mentions, the one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, he says. Now, how can St. Paul say that? St. Paul persecuted the church. He's just going to forget that? He held the coats of those that stoned Stephen. He was on the road to Damascus when the Lord saved him, there to arrest Christians, kill Christians. He was a wicked man. Then he was a Pharisee living a self-righteous, proud, egotistical life, thinking he was so great. He's just going to forget all that? How can Paul forget all that? Does he see some psychiatrist who gives him some drug and he doesn't have a memory anymore? How does he forget all this? Is he brainwashed in some way? He forgets because of Christ. His eyes are on Christ and the prize. He forgets because of his baptism, where he's washed and cleansed of his past. He looks at the cross where Jesus died for his sins, all of them, even the really bad ones. He's forgiven. He's washed. He's cleansed. It's finished. It's done. My past is behind me because God has cleansed it and forgiven it and taken it away. And I have eternal glory in heaven. And so he moves on. Some of us here have to move on from our past that weighs us down like a chain ball, and the guilt and the shame and the regret. God forgives, and God forgives. Jesus died, and God has a home for us in heaven, eternal glory. He's not going to change his mind sometime and not forgive if he has glory awaiting us and the resurrection awaiting us. Friend, it's time to move on from the past. You know, I did something really silly this past week. I got home. That's not a shocker, I realize, but I got home from work. And when I walk in from home, I have my keys in my hand because I was driving. I have my keys, and I'm going to go put them in a drawer where I keep my keys. And I walked into the house. There's a little piece of trash there on the kitchen counter. So I have my keys in my right hand. I pick up the piece of trash with my left hand. And our big 40-gallon trash can is out in the garage, so I'm going to throw the piece of trash out in the trash can. So I open the door to the garage, and guess what I do? Because I'm not thinking. I throw my keys in the trash can and hold on to the piece of trash. And the keys are heavy, so what do they do in the trash? They sink down through the trash because they're heavy. And so what am I doing? Digging through the trash. And the more I dig, what do the keys do? They fall deeper and deeper because they're heavy. And you've got to keep digging in the trash. What a fool. Digging through trash? I think a lot of us dig through trash. You dig through all the trash of your sins. And you mull over and relive all the bad things you've done. You relive them again and relive them. And then you tell the person next to you how to make them relive theirs too. Oh, you did this and this and this. We are forgiven. Get out of the trash. They've been taken as far as the east is from the west, our sins, by Christ. He died for them. He's taken them away. Don't relive them. Don't dump them over your head. Don't dig through them. They're washed and cleansed. Go on. And that's St. Paul. Secondly, the prize helps us to focus on the present and the great mission and purpose we have in the present. Forget the past, all the sins and mistakes, and focus on the present and the mission God's given his church now. And what a focused, single-minded man Paul is. One thing I do. He doesn't have 14 things on his to-do list. Every day he wakes up, what's my job? Follow Christ. What's my job? Follow Christ. What am I here to do? Follow Christ. Follow Christ. Follow Christ. I'm a Christian. I bear the name of Jesus. I'm here to be a Christian. That's why I'm left on this earth until I get to heaven. One thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind. Straining forward to what lies ahead. Paul has sports in mind here. Paul likes sports a little bit, I think. So does this Paul. He's picturing a runner. And the runner's near the end of his race. And what's the runner do? Quit? No way. Veers off over here? No way. The runner has his eyes on the prize, the tape. I'm going to make it. He strains. He leans forward to get there fast. He's leaning, straining as Paul looks at the prize and the finish line. I press on toward the goal for the prize. Paul's life, I press on toward the goal. I press on to finish the race. I press on toward the goal. Many of us would describe our lives this way. I stress out because I have so many other goals that aren't all that important. Or, the opposite side, we may describe our lives saying, I do less and have no goals at all because I'm lazy and a couch potato in the church. We often do one or the other. I'm so stressed out because I have so many things to do. Maybe it's time to get some of those things off your to-do list. Or I do less, I'm retired, I'm a couch potato, I won't do anything anymore for the Lord. Oh, really? And you're a Christian? Paul doesn't stress out, he doesn't do less, he presses on. A focused man on his mission of why he's left on the earth. The word press on is a wonderful word. Again, it's an athletic word in the Greek. It literally means, we would say in our language, to give 110%. Paul's saying, I give 110% by the power of the Spirit in me. I give it my all. I leave everything on the field, we would say. I hold nothing back. I'm going to leave it all on this earth. I'm going to give 110% toward the goal. Well, what's he giving 110% to do? In summary, two things. Cling to Christ and bring others to Christ. That's pretty simple. Give 110% by the Spirit's power. And we all have the Holy Spirit. We're all baptized. I'm going to give it my all by the Spirit's power and guidance to cling to Christ. Through trial and tribulation and temptation and woes and all the hurts and pains of life and war of life, I'm going to hold on and cling to Jesus. I'm going to hear the Word of God. I'm going to commune at God's table. I'm going to pray. I'm going to worship. I'm going to have devotions. I'm going to hold on and cling to Christ and empower my family to do it and all my friends. I'm going to hold on to Christ who's holding on to me. That's faith. Hold on with ears and mouth and heart and soul. And then bring others with you. Cling and bring. 110% to be a light, to be salt on this earth, be a light in the darkness, to boldly proclaim Jesus. That's why I'm here every morning. All that I say and do, my job, my calling, whatever my vocation, I'm here to be a witness for Jesus Christ and live this day for Him. And the prize enables that. Because the finish line is there. And we're straining forward to it. And don't get knocked off course, and don't you dare quit. The prize is worth it. The prize is worth it. In this world where we hear all about Ebola, we need to pray about that. And we hear all about ISIS killing people. Who's next? And we hear some good news. Gas is going to go below $3, I guess. That's good news, I guess. And a cold snap here in Tennessee. We hear all this stuff. It's time the world hear about Jesus Christ. It's time the church rises up and proclaims the gospel of forgiveness and grace and the love of God in Christ Jesus. The prize helps me to forget the past. Focus on why I'm here in the present. And then last of all, the prize fulfills me now and gives me ultimate fulfillment in paradise. The fulfillment of and an inexpressible joy, Paul writes about. We have an inexpressible joy that's in Christ even now that overflows. We have a peace that passes all understanding, we Christians. We have a sure and certain hope of eternal life and eternal glory. We have this incredible prize and future. We're filled up people. My cup runneth over. Now and certainly in paradise. My birthday was Wednesday. You know how many birthday cakes I got? By the way, thank you to everybody. You're very kind. I didn't get one birthday cake. I didn't get two. I didn't get three. I didn't get four. I didn't get five. I got six birthday cakes. And that's heaven, isn't it? A red velvet cake from Alice Munsey. Now, that's a piece of heaven. And chocolate cakes and a chocolate chip cookie cake and candy bars and some little cupcakes. And then Mark's not here. Mark Blay had the same birthday. He took me to lunch and bought lunch. Nice fella. And then Anna and the family took me out to dinner. My cake runneth over. You want some? See me after church. Filled up. Overflowing. Can't have enough. As Christians, we are filled up. Our cup runneth over with the blessings of God. Even now, but at paradise. Oh, the blessings that await us in the New Jerusalem. It's going to take an eternity. It will take an eternity to fully enjoy all the blessings God has for us. I think that's one reason why heaven's eternal. Well, God's eternal, obviously. And I've said before, I think it takes that long to praise and thank God for what he's done, and eternity to thank him and praise him. We never end thanking and praising him. But also, there's that much joy and that much adventure and glory awaiting us, and service and worship and feasting awaiting us. It takes that long to enjoy it all. Oh, the fulfillment. The prize is worth it. So press on. It's not good to be overly hungry, because then you're hungry. And it's not good to be overly stuffed, because then you're sick. It's really good to be in the middle, where I'm pretty satisfied and content, but I want more. And when I have more, I want even a little more. And that's the Christian life. We're not hungry. We're not stuffed. We're filled with Jesus in our ears and our mouth today. And yet we want more. We want more like Paul. We want more. He knows me. I want to know him. I want to attain to the resurrection. I want to get past the finish line. I want glory. I want resurrection. I want more and more and more. I want the word more, the sacrament more. I can't have enough of just Jesus. He fills me, but I want more. And that's a great place to be. You're so satisfied and full, and yet you want more. And that's the Christian life. And you enter today thinking you don't have a lot in life. You have everything in Christ. Fix your eyes on the prize, First Lutheran. Forget the past. It's forgiven. Focus on the present, your mission, why you're here. And be fulfilled now in Christ and realize the fulfillment of eternal pleasure at the right hand of the Father with Jesus. Fix your eyes on the prize. We rise. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And so I will rise.
I will rise indeed. Hallelujah.
Thank you for the great bold words. I will rise.
I will rise indeed. Hallelujah.
May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray to our gracious Father.